There's been another long-term follow-up study, this time involving three cohorts of young people in Finland for nearly 30 years, looking at the influence of what's called non-HDL cholesterol at various ages, and the chances of showing the signs of atherosclerosis in the coronary arteries in mid-adulthood, that's around the age of 40. Although it was a Finnish study, the lead author was Dr. Matthew Armstrong of the Menzies Institute for Medical Research at the University of Tasmania. Welcome to the Health Report, Matthew.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What's non-HDL cholesterol?
Yeah, so we have obviously various measures of cholesterol. We have your total cholesterol and what I think a lot of people would know as good and bad cholesterol. So your good being HDL and then your bad being LDL cholesterol. But we have also what we call non-HDL, so everything that's not the good cholesterol. So it's all the bad cholesterols effectively.
So let's say you've got a cholesterol of 5 and an HDL of 1, then essentially your non-HDL is 4 or something like that.
Yes.
And you don't bother defining it into LDL or what have you, but LDL is buried in there.
Yeah, LDL is a major component of the non-HDL cholesterol.
So tell us about what you found in this study when you followed these people through at various ages from adolescence.
Yeah, so obviously these people are the same people that we followed up over 28 years. And we found that in general, non-HDL exposure to non-HDL cholesterol across the life course was associated with what we call coronary artery calcium. So this is just calcium buildup in the coronary arteries. These are the arteries that feed the heart. And we found that at different life stages, there's a similar association between non-HDL cholesterol and coronary artery calcium. So this sort of suggests that all life stages are important for the development of coronary artery calcium in later life.
And just before we go on, how valid is coronary calcium as a measure of atherosclerosis? I had an internationally eminent cardiologist on just before Christmas saying he never does coronary calcium scores.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, we have measures of like clotted plaque and that sort of thing. As it goes, I think coronary artery calcium is quite a good measure of disease in the coronary arteries. You know, we really want an idea of like a surrogate marker of heart disease. It's not really used all that much in clinical practice, but in research it's being used more and more because it's quite a robust surrogate, like a preclinical marker of heart disease.
So even though you're 40, it predicts an increased risk later in life.
Yeah.
So, but you showed that the adolescence raised non-HDL cholesterol in adolescence was disproportionately large in terms of its effect on coronary calcium at the age of 40.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. You know, we showed that in adolescence, I will say that, you know, though we showed that adolescents had a stronger association, cholesterol in adolescents had a stronger association with coronary artery calcium. It was, you know, it was still similar across the life stages. So we're talking about a few percent more stronger association compared to the other later life stages.
Now, going back to the interview I just did with Mark Parsons, I mean, there are other factors here. There's blood pressure, there's poverty, there's education, there's smoking, there's drug use, there's lack of exercise. How do you know that it was non-HDL and not some other factor in these young people's lives that was increasing the risk of atherosclerosis?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, we in our analyses, we did our best to adjust for as much as we can. You know, we adjust for things like BMI, smoking status. But, you know, there are, you know, potential residual confounding and also things such as physical activity and diet, which we didn't take into account in our analyses. So certainly there is also lifestyle factors that we didn't account for, which may be having an influence.
Now, we've known for a while. I mean, I think that during the Vietnam War, when they did postmortems
yes.
on soldiers who died in their 20s, they could see streaks and plaque in their coronary arteries. They've found it in postmortems of young people who've been killed in car accidents. So we've known for
yes.
a while that adolescence and what happens in childhood is important later in life. What's new about this in terms of parents might be listening or even adolescents? We have a huge adolescent audience on the Health Board.
Yeah, so I think, so, you know, just going back to the autopsy studies, you know, they've shown coronary artery calcium as young as 2 years of age, so this starts really early. I'll say, you know, so previous studies, a lot of them have focused just on one time period. So, for example, they looked at, you know, early life cholesterol levels on future risk, and then maybe another study looked at later life cholesterol levels on risk. And so we've looked at all like three different life stages and shown the relative importance of each life stage.
So does this mean that cholesterol should be done earlier in life, or that parents should just be much more attentive to diet and lifestyle?
Yeah, this is a very tricky question. You know, we don't want to overstate our findings here. I think our findings in general bolster the idea that leading a healthy lifestyle and maintaining a healthy lifestyle throughout all ages is important.
And what happens next with your study?
Yeah, so I think next we'll be moving on. You know, like you mentioned before, there's other risk factors such as blood pressure. And, you know, that's certainly on the cards for looking at how this might affect the risk of coronary artery calcium in later life as well.
And you'll have to dust up on your finish.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, it must be another story why you were doing this study, but thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Matthew Armstrong is a postdoctoral research fellow at the Menzies Institute for Medical Research at the University of Tasmania. This has been the Health Report.